Are the MCU films coming back to IMAX? Are the MCU movies leaving Netflix? Yes. And is it a slow news week because those are headlines? Yes! This is Marvel Movie News!
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie News.
Excelsior to you, our merry Marvelites. For our live viewers, this is take two. For our evergreen viewers, this is take one, and you never saw sneaky background changes. Welcome! This is episode 192, and we are re-coming to you live from nowhere, where the news seems to exist. So you can subscribe to us at iTunes. You can find us on Popcorn Talk's website. You can find us at youtube.com/popcorntalknetwork. You can follow us on Twitter at @MarvelNewsPTN or at the Popcorn Talk. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/MarvelNewsShow. Follow us, like us, and if you retweet a link to the show whilst we are live, Ant-Manthony in the booth will retweet you.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? So this is the first take, and there wasn't any take before these, and we're a perfect show.
Yeah. Perfect show. Nothing's ever no flaws. Zero flaws.
No flaws zero in flaw live show. Production.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Maximum effort.
What's a second take even mean? So joining me, as ever, is the ever-lovely Markia McCarty.
Yes! Hello! You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram, at Markia McCarty, MarkeiaMccarty.
And she, and this is important to me as a burner, I gotta give full credit, she is officially, as of today, going to Burning Man.
As of this morning, wow. Yeah, I have a ticket, I have a ride, vehicle pass, I've bought supplies, and my birthday's on the 27th, which is during Burning Man. I don't know. I'm filled with the spirit big time. I'm thinking of doing what some of other people have done, and they do Amazon wish lists and stuff. And then it's like if people want to, you know, I haven't pre-ordered Spider-Man PS4 yet. For instance, I don't know. Maybe I'll do it. I'll make a big deal out of my birthday this year.
Yeah, so Burning Man is already a giant testament to whoa. Wow. And as a burner, I just got to say, it's marvelous enough that she's going, that it's on the news. And also joining us, associate producer and ever-lovely Amy.
Hi. Martinez. Yes.
Do you like the middle name use?
I do.
I paused in the middle because I was like, do I put this in there?
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Amy, Cassandra Martinez.
There you go. Yes, you guys can find me on all social media at Amy Cassandra MTZ, which is an abbreviation for Martinez. Thank you. Or you can just think of it as
which I respect. I respect the brevity of As a person with a three-letter first name, is respectable.
Right? Well, and Amy.
You got six total.
I know.
If you just go to Amy.
That's natural. In chat room, yes, I know Dean Ambrose is back on Raw, which is amazing. Let's talk about it on Twitter.
Dean Ambrose! They mistake our random tangents into Burning Man into like free range show.
Yes. all the things, all the nerddoms.
That said, it is a very medium to slow news week. It is post, right after Comic-Con, there was a surprising barrage of more news, and now that summer lull, just like going to the movie theater, and if MoviePass only let you see Slender Man, it's like that with the news. Only Slender Man. It is a Slender News Week, and speaking of Slender, Netflix is slimming down because when the Disney streaming service starts up, they're losing the Disney properties. So that is not a surprise. It has been rumored for quite some time. It is now official that, frankly, when Disney takes over, they're taking over and they're just pulling. So we're not going to have Ant-Man and the Wasp on there anymore. We will, as of now, keep the Netflix shows because Netflix teamed up. It's as much theirs as it is Marvel's, as far as we know to date. But Captain Marvel will be the first MCU film to debut on the Disney platform, whatever they may end up calling it. And that will mean we will be losing those on Netflix. What do you guys think about the Disney take back?
Not surprised. I mean, look at what they did with the animated movies, you know? Well, what they will be doing. And Star Wars in general. It makes sense. They want to beef up they're going to do, like, direct competition with Netflix. Like, Hulu has been doing, like, direct competition with them. So, yeah. It just makes sense. I'm very happy that they're, for right now, letting Marvel Netflix stay there.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's a type of genre. You say Marvel Netflix or Netflix Marvel, however you live. When you say that, you get a particular feeling, you know, that boots on the ground, you know, incidents in the sky. It's not so much Iron Man armor so much as it is does Jessica Jones fly? You know, that kind of a feel. So, yeah, I'm really hoping that Disney does keep that there, mm-hmm. at least through Defenders 2, which I'm sure they're going to have, you know, in Luke Cage Season 3, and so on and so forth. I'd at least like that. I would want that story, all of those stories, to come to a completion mm-hmm. before they consider maybe starting a Disney Marvel Netflix, if you know what I mean.
And I think that could be more kid-friendly. I think that could be a different... Like, Marvel Knights was an adult-only line. Like, you could actually get carded buying some of the comics that Marvel mm-hmm. used to do. I like the idea that you can have that distinction on Netflix, where they can make the Disney properties, like, maybe have an age wall or something that... I mean, no kids ever click 18+ when they're not, right? but maybe having something on the Disney that if they have those older shows, that there's a distinction, because I like that the Netflix brand feels like Netflix, and I like that Freeform feels like Runaways. Mm. Like, I like that there's different flavors, because when you go to a comic store, there's so many different universes to dive in, even amongst the DC and Marvel umbrellas. You know what you're getting.
Yeah, Amy, what do you think? Punisher couldn't exist. Punisher would not exist on a Disney platform. Are you kidding?
Yeah, that'd be... Guys, whoa. Gun control conversations. Oh. Disney years.
Oh, that would be interesting. I agree, but I also really like to be able to watch everything everywhere. Mm-hmm. So it's cool, but I'm also very dedicated to Netflix. So, I mean, it's fine. I'm just bummed that they're taking Marvel away from us for now, you know, at least putting it in the Disney platform, but keeping the Marvel television stuff on there. Marvel, Netflix. You know what I mean?
So many titles.
Let's make it pretty. Like, oh, let's just have it everywhere.
No, what do you think they're going to call it? Disney cast. No.
Like, Dreamcast failed. We don't want anything Dreamcast. We've already tried and failed there.
Disney TV. Now.
The Mouse House?
I like that app. You click on, do you want to download the Mouse House?
$8.95 for the Mouse House.
50 million other people have downloaded the Mouse House.
Everyone just, this giant umbrella of like Lady and the Tramp and Spider-Man running around. Like, it's going to be.
Oh, that would be cute.
It's happening. Everything. They own everything.
Would just, like, web sling.
Well, I mean, that's actually the one character I shouldn't use, because Sony would be like, no. But other than Spider-Man.
Yes.
He's Disney in my heart. So, I mean, that's interesting. It's not too surprising. Disney is going to be launching their streaming service in mid-2019, we've heard. So that'll be happening in a shockingly soon 8 to 9 months, because this year is almost over, which I don't understand. September's soon. Oh, no, I'm not panicking. You're panicking. The MCU movies, however, in the opposite move, are coming back to IMAX to celebrate the anniversary. And with Marvel partnering with IMAX, they're celebrating the 20th anniversary, I believe, of IMAX by having all 20 movies again in theaters, which is so exciting. Yeah. I love IMAX. I think movie theaters are underappreciated. I think that movies are meant to be seen in theaters. I think the shared experience and the size, the scope, they're made for big, especially these kind of movies. You don't have to see every movie in theaters, but the superhero movies are super heroically big. See it on IMAX. See it as big as you can. So IMAX announced all 20 Marvel movies will be playing at least once, and some as many as 3 times, beginning on Labor Day weekend, which is, once again, very panic-inducingly soon. And they're also releasing The Dark Knight is going to be out right before that, which... Wait, did I miss it? I missed The Dark Knight! Aww. The Dark Knight came out right before... past tense now. Oh, no.
Yeah, it's like Dark Knight did it, and then Marvel's like, hey, that's great.
What a great idea.
Let's put everything on the table.
They should have advertised more, because I missed it.
That would have been nice to see Dark Knight again. Dark Knight.
Was it during Comic-Con? Is that why?
It might have
been. It must have been.
There were a lot of things during Comic-Con.
Life
and then,
just
like, afterwards, you kind of figure out that life was still going on afterwards.
I'm still recovering.
Yeah. But there are some people, and probably viewers that, you know, are joining us now mm-hmm. that didn't get to see Iron Man in theaters.
Yeah.
In IMAX. And now they have mm-hmm. the opportunity to do that. I mean, heck, I'll be there.
Is it the 20th anniversary of IMAX? Is that why 20 films? Because it's the 10th anniversary of Marvel. Mm-hmm. So it's the 20th anniversary of IMAX. They're celebrating with 20 Marvel films. I know 2008 was not 20 years ago.
Ooh, all of that's catchy.
20 years, 10 years, Marvel, 20 films. So catchy. So
we're going to miss it anyway.
Yeah, it's while we're gone.
What?
Yeah.
Enjoy Iron Man for me. I'll live vicariously through you while I'm dancing in the desert.
So they'll be releasing those nearly 24 films will be released in the order of release between August 30th and September 3rd. And then you get to catch a couple more of them between September 4th and September 6th. So mm-hmm. a lot of movies coming at you. If you live near an IMAX, or even if you don't, get a hotel near an IMAX, travel out, go see all these movies, support cinema. August 30th, we're getting Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2, and Thor. I'm going to speed read Koi style because we're going to get through these. August 31st, we get Cap First Avengers Avenger, The Avengers, Iron Man 3, Thor, The Dark World, September 1st, Captain America, The Winter Soldier, Guardians of the Galaxy, Avengers, Age of Ultron, and Ant-Man, September 2nd, Captain America, Civil War, Doctor Strange, Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 2, Spider-Man Homecoming, and September 3rd, Thor, Ragnarok, Black Panther, Avengers, Infinity War, Ant-Man and the Wasp. The 4th, you get Iron Man again, Spider-Man Homecoming, Black Panther, Doctor Strange, September 5th, Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 2, Captain America, Civil War, The Avengers, Avengers, Infinity War, and September 6th, fans will vote for the final two screens.
I feel like going you were once,
going twice, going third, yes. times. Sold.
I was curious just how
sold
fast
to
I
the Marvelite fans.
Marvelites get the movies.
Yay, we all win.
So what do you guys, now that I read the paragraph,
I don't know,
what do you guys
I kind of blanked out for a second. Can you do it again?
We just drinks power juice. So I
yes,
love
I'm,
the idea.
I'm focusing and supplementing.
Yeah, well, and I was looking because we talked about this on Marvel TV Weekly as well. And if you're in the LA area, there are 3 theaters you can go to. So plan accordingly, because I'm sure that a lot of people will want to go and see them in IMAX. So it's like TCL Chinese Theater mm-hmm. in Hollywood and AMC, a couple of AMC theaters. And we were talking about how, like, if you could only pick a couple mm-hmm. of movies to see.
Yeah, is this playing at once? No, El Capitan doesn't have a...
It's not technical IMAX.
Yeah, it's not IMAX. Cause like,
it's
whoa,
IMAX adjacent.
You know.
Otherwise, I'd be living there if we weren't both gone.
I know. You in Ireland, me, hashtag dance in the dust.
I'll be in the green.
Or hashtag
you'll be
birthday
the,
burn.
Yeah, you'll be yeah. having a hell of a time. We're both going to be experiencing magical things, just not IMAX magical things.
Exactly.
What 3 would you pick? No pressure.
Oh, right?
Right now. Amy, right now.
Okay, definitely Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one. Black Panther again.
It's always the last one that's hard.
Captain America, Winter Soldier. Bam!
Got it.
Okay. My 3, original Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
Then Captain America, Winter Soldier. Mm-hmm. And then Black Panther.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. I like that it's one from each phase. That feels good. Mm-hmm. I'm going Iron Man as well. And then I'm going Winter Soldier, so we'll have some. We'll see each other in those crossovers.
Be like in spirit,
and we'll be like, hey. And then I think for me, it's either Civil War or Spider-Man: Homecoming, just because those were such fun experiences. So like with the audience, I want to laugh with the audience. Mm-hmm. So I remember loving seeing Spider-Man get born for the new audience because I saw that Civil War so many times. But also Homecoming was just such a like John Hughes-y belly laugh that I kind of want to like have 100 people like laughing with me again.
Yeah.
So I see your Guardians. I was Guardians yeah. was like a close
yeah because oh, yeah. IMAX
right.
in general
yeah,
yeah.
Scopey it's just scope. Louder and being in there basically.
And live chat, what 3 would you pick? I'm very oh
yeah.
Game
and
Girl,
have,
Game
and then
Girl
also
already had some.
People that are not seeing this live with us go ahead and tweet interact us. With the yeah tweet us or interact on the YouTube mm-hmm. iTunes people iTunes has comments also.
It's true. Use that up. And also, Gamer Girl, I was not saying that Lady and the Tramp and Spider-Man would team up in a show. I'm saying on the same platform.
Although,
but now that you've said it, I do want to see that team up real bad.
I kind of want to see, this will never happen, Deadpool, because then you have Lady and the Tramp, and they have the piece of spaghetti, and then Deadpool just, like, chops it.
Yes! Yeah. I will take that all day. And he kind of looks like a meatball.
Oh, okay. Well, he's doing it. He's a meatball pool.
Yeah, he's definitely got that, like, toasty flavor. So I am very excited for these IMAX as much as I'm upset about the Netflix. Netflix felt inevitable. Now we have an official update. But I love that for IMAX's 20th anniversary, they're bringing 20 Marvel films back to the cinema. And as you guys know, if you're fans of the show, I am a big advocate for seeing movies in the theater because theater is very important. Mm-hmm. Now, in not so exciting news,
not so exciting.
Sony is they're making me nervous. Sony, there was a movie called Silver and Black that had a very very strong production team lined up. It had a very very strong, incredible costume designer. You may have heard of her. Her name's Ruthie Carter. She was I was riding this movie being good solely on Ruthie Carter being such a talent that I was like she wouldn't put her name on something awful. And then Sony was like, hey. What if we split that into 2 movies for some reason and then have a Black Cat movie and then later a Silver Sable movie for some reason? I don't know if Black Cat is a standalone character or if Silver Sable is. I keep defending Sony. I will for the first time admit I'm nervous and ask you guys what you think.
Well, this is an extremely interesting move to do a Felicia Hardy standalone movie.
Mm-hmm.
I can kind of understand the thinking of it because... From my mind movie, I can see executives being like, hey, Catwoman was big, right? And
we should have a basketball
wasn't
scene.
Wasn't there a Catwoman movie? and not really thinking that through and being like, we could do it better. You know, kind of a deal. And then not really... Well, I can be somewhat optimistic for this if they get a very strong team, like a very strong team behind them, and have a heck of a story where we delve into the background of Felicia Hardy somehow without Spider-Man, and we don't go the Holly Berry Catwoman route with it. Which I don't think we could do anyway. That was like that was like a 90s. Bubble universe.
That was a peak weird throwing money at stuff.
A heck of a drug. They were, and I'm not dissing it too much because I like to watch a lot of bad sci-fi. So there are times when watching the Catwoman movie can be very enjoyable. They mainly involve drinking games, but it can be very enjoyable. Like that and Flintstones. I love Holly Berry.
Rats in it.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, I love Holly Berry. Yeah. What are you gonna do? There's nothing to be done when you have that much love. But I won't watch some X-Men movies. But so with this, yeah, I mean, it's possible. I think it would have been such a stronger choice to keep Silver Sable and Black Cat together. Mm-hmm. I mean, already it feels like people were on the fence with that particular movie, no matter the fact that they had Gina Prince Bythewood involved and Ruthie Carter and everything like that. And then to have that be put on hiatus and then to be like, oh, because we're doing a Black Cat standalone. Mm-hmm. It just seems like them doing that, they are putting so much pressure on Venom now. It's like all of these moves is, it's kind of like, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Universal's Dark Universe. Mm. You know, when they were like, okay, this is our setup of everything, you know, Bride of Frankenstein the Mummy and all and everything like this. And then they put all this pressure on the first starting movies and they didn't really hit the
mark. They cast like 8 actors and then they like never got to work. Like they, and then the first The Mummy, yeah, I agree. That was tricky.
It's, oh, you have to have that first really good build. Like you have to have your Iron Man or you have to have your Blade or whatever. You have to have that and you plan out from that. And it kind of feels to me, and I'm not inside, you know, anything that has to do with Sony. I don't know what they're actually thinking, but it feels to me like they were like, oh, hey, what do we have? Oh, we have Venom. Oh, he's really close to Spider-Man. Okay, we'll have him be the forefront. Oh, you know what? Marvel's doing like such incredible stuff and they're on board with us now. We're just going to span everything out from him and not really thinking it through and not putting enough into Venom to then be the Iron Man for Sonyverse. So I don't know. It feels like a reactive move to me, and I just hope that they get a lot of amazing people behind the scenes with this. But this needs a Kevin Feige. Who does DC have? I forget his name right now. But well, DC kind of.
Well, Jeff Johns went to.
Well, not. I don't mean him.
Lee's creative director right now, I think.
Oh, I forget his name right now. The person that I mean, where it's like kind of a guiding force. But like with that, you need somebody that has a singular vision, and I feel like they need that for Sonyverse. And I don't feel like they have that. They have, different producers doing different things.
And someone's just saying yes, and then it's all.
Yeah, it's like, hey, money's good.
Yeah, we like money.
Hey.
What do you think, Miss?
I think they should just try to focus on doing a good job. And stop trying, I don't know, crazy thought, but stop trying to do something that, you know, Marvel's already doing, and stop trying to rush it. And I'm kind of confused because if Black Cat, you know, has a lot to do with Spider-Man. I'm worried that they're going to try to overlap, but not try to overlap at the same time. It's just going to be a mess. And just take your time. There is no rush. Us nerds aren't going anywhere.
Spider-Verse looks great, but that's a lot of that's Sony Animation, and that's the biggest Sony pull.
Walter Hamada. That was the person. Oh, I was got thinking it.
Yeah,
of.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So Spider-Man, Sonyverse look. I mean, Spider-Verse looks great from Sony.
Oh yeah.
But like the Kraven movie makes me nervous. This makes me like what I would do with the Black Cat standalone movie is her dad was a cat burglar and he was known as like a very famous cat burglar. So what I'd want to do is kind of have like a daughter story where it's a young black cat trying to follow in the footsteps of her father and do kind of an Oceans movie and like kind of have like a heist film where she's trying to be her dad and she's like walking the line between good and bad, and you can have an interesting origin with Black Cat. Mm-hmm. But I could see that really tying in beautifully with Silver Sable having like an espionage take on that, where she was following her father in espionage footsteps, and you have these two parallel characters where one goes good and one goes evil, and then when they meet, you have this conflict. Mm-hmm. That would be an interesting movie. But when you put them in two different movies, if you try to flesh out an hour and 45 minutes for each of them and then have them meet later, that might not be enough. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know if I need to see a full story with each, because I love these two characters, but I don't know if Sony has proven themselves enough that they'll give the right actor, the right director, the right writers enough room to breathe and take their time, mm-hmm. or if they're going to rush two movies and then the universe just crumbles.
Well, and it sounds like they would make more sense to be together. Why would you want to see the same kind of story
twice? Right, they're similar enough. Yeah. Like, they're not the same, but they're not like, Venom. They don't have the loyalty that Venom does, necessarily. Mm-hmm. I don't know anyone that's like, I'm going to give $20 to the Silver Sable movie.
And you know what? If they did that, I would kind of want them to be set in different eras. I mean, if we had like an Ocean's 8-esque type of Black Cat, mm-hmm. then I would want Silver Sable to be set further back during a time where it's like really cool to be like a Cold War type of assassin type of a thing. So then when they would have a movie where she meets up with Black Cat, I would actually want an older actress mm-hmm. to play that. And then that also, you know, checks off a mark because, oh gosh, we do love our younger superheroes, don't we? That's one of the reasons why I'm kind of on board with them doing, for instance, Jackpot, because it's good to have older superheroes, especially female, older female superheroes. But I don't know. It feels like they're like, oh, what do we have? And like throwing stuff at a dartboard. I just want a lot of thought to go into this because I feel like this could be so good. The versatility and diversity that you can have with having a bunch of villains, which they have, you know, Sonyverse has that. To have that, and then along with just, it's so possible, but they have to have the right people and they have to have the right mindset. Otherwise, we'll turn our back on them.
I want to trust Sony.
Yeah.
And speaking of trusting Sony, Venom might be PG-13.
God. It could be a hard PG-13.
Oh,
that's possible.
I have so many inappropriate things to say.
I feel like that was like one of the most enticing things for me was
an R-rated mainstream.
Yeah, an R-rated Venom movie.
Their trailer is saying we have too many superheroes, we need a villain, and then they're like, but a Diet Coke villain. Like, what do you want from me? Like, you don't, like, advertise your trailer like, look how badass we're being. PG-13 badass. Like, I get that PG-13 can push some limits, but if you're eating brains and you're having a man have a psychotic break and you cast Tom Hardy, what are you doing? I want this to be a hard R. I want this to be, like, it doesn't make sense to me. Spider-Man's friendly neighborhood, Venom's not. The beautiful thing is the id and the ego, the battle between Spider-Man and his darkness. The beautiful thing is that the symbiote is so controlling that it warps even the powerful Spider-Man, that it, like, it corrupts the responsible Spider-Man. If he's not corrupt on his own, he's never going to be corrupt as Spider-Man. What are you doing? What do you guys think?
Well, dang it, guys. I feel like we all want it to be good, duh. But I feel like they keep giving us little pieces where it's just harder and harder to fight for them. I'm really hesitant, and I think PG-13 and brain eating just don't really mix. Go for it hard, you know? Like, I don't understand why they're trying to be safe. Maybe they want to get the younger audiences in there and make sure that they can see it as well.
And 12-year-olds are going to think, hey, that guy looks cool and he's got edgy teeth. Like, Venom is a very edgy, cool, like, he's that kind of character. I could see that.
Yeah, I see why they're doing it also, because MCU did that.
Right.
So, you know, it works. Mm-hmm. Star Wars did that. It works.
And money.
But it's different.
Yeah.
It's so different. Venom would have made a very good R-rated movie. I mean, wasn't he like biting off somebody's head in the trailer? Okay.
I hear reshoots are happening now. Yeah, post that tone.
Of course they are. I heard more humor being injected, kind of a thing. Okay. So, I mean, the thing with PG-13 is like, well, just R ratings in general is what? You have nudity/sexual relations or language or violence. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, R rating. I mean, with PG-13, I think you could still have it be R with the violence, but then, you know, any kind of language stuff would be right out the window.
Well, you lose any, like, you have to cut away. Violence has to be off camera. And that means that we're going to feel that. I think we're gonna feel us
for a villain movie, for Venom villain movie. Oh, and also in the chat room, no, Silver Sable is not old, but I'm saying that it would be a really good opportunity to age up a superhero if you set her further back. And didn't involve time travel like you do with Captain Marvel. not time travel. I mean, being in another place, like in space. And then, of course, with time running differently there as opposed to here and whatnot.
Andre Rodriguez suggested Helen Mirren for a noir style. Ooh. Isn't that a cool idea?
I love that. I like that a lot. We could have Red meets Silver Sable.
I love that idea. That's a fantastic. That. Andre, great call, man.
Wait, super fun. So I might be out of the loop. Is it confirmed it's going to be for sure for PG-13?
Or it's rumor. It's a rumor. Yeah. And I am, once again, I'm still Venom cheerleader. Just I'm getting a little scared.
Well, yeah, I asked the chat, who is excited to see Venom? And we have a couple of hopeful people as well. So
I don't get why can't they make Venom rated R and then just have them if there is a potential for a crossover, just make that movie PG-13.
Well, because they want a wider audience. You have a wider audience with PG-13 than you do with R. Because,
like an 80% wider audience, like a exactly. substantial.
Yeah, like, but think about it. If you have a teenager and she's like super excited about the Venom movie, but she happens to be 15 years old, mm-hmm. so it's like, well, she's not seeing that without parental consent. But type of a thing.
The wider audience be coming from Spider-Man? Like, if they're like, the whole point is like, we want to prepare for a potential crossover for Spider-Man, which potentially would be PG-13, right?
Yeah.
So
Spider-Man already
has pull. They don't need to widen the audience for when they release that Spider-Man, because Spider-Man will do most of the pulling. But also they could attract the more whatever Venom attracts with the rated R audience.
What I think is that now they're resting all their laurels on Venom, so they need Venom to make $200 million or something huge comparatively, so they can make Black Cat, so they can make the Kraven movie. I think Venom is now more of a foundation than it was, so now they're thinking about PG-13.
Oof. Well, it seems like they're losing their confidence in this film, and when they start having their knees shake, everyone can feel it in the air. And if they don't have the confidence and stand behind a rated R Venom film, then it's just not going to do well. I mean, look at what happened with Slenderman and Sony Screen Ooh. Gems. Like, that was an incomplete film because it was originally intended for a rated R film, rated R rating, but to broaden the audience and to appeal to teenagers, they brought it down to PG-13, and they also scrapped many of the juicier parts of the film, and then they released it, and now it's got like less than a 30% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, granted, it might be financially secure, but still, it was a terrible film that was supposed to be the next iconic Freddy or Jason Voorhees.
Juicy like a turd in the wind.
Oh no.
Speaking of juicy, James Gunn is that's a bad tangent. James Gunn is Marvel is trying to get James Gunn rehired. There are back-channel conversations between the studios, between Marvel and Walt Disney Company, and with the growing support and with the cast and with everything else, this is still a conversation. I think this is the third or fourth time it's come up on our show, because it is still a thing. It is still news. It is still moving. I think all of us have said our piece on what we feel about this situation. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to, much like the 3 years of us saying the Fox-Disney merger was happening, this is your update on the rehiring of James Gunn or not situation happening. That is the only bit of conversation, or anything you want to add to it? I think we've done for like 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's. I feel a little bit frustrated because we have to just keep talking about it because people are talking about it and there's not much going on. But you guys need to know what is going on in case you don't know.
So, it's a little ping. Yeah.
I think it would be a decent compromise to put him on as a producer/consultant type of a deal if Disney's completely adamant about not having him direct. I mean, that could be a possibility, you know, a way around all of this. But, you know, who knows? Who knows at this point? I mean, we shall see. No matter what, time moves forward. And unless the end of the world happens, or half of the world ends, then exactly. Then we will find out.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, we'll keep updating you. That's the current situation. That's where it stands now. And speaking of glorious things, Infinity War has a gag reel, and we're going to watch it with you lovelies, because
yes,
it is fantastic.
I actually haven't seen this yet.
Same.
So, fun stuff. Or have I? This looks familiar.
Mm-hmm.
I just want him to do a peace out, a peace out sign, and then just walk off.
Because you're worth it.
Hey. Fun stuff.
I'm Dr. I'm Dr. I can't walk at the moment.
I mean.
Yay!
Yes, I am excited for that full gag reel and full commentary, and I love special features so much. Yes. I really, really love diving into that, like the making of a movie, the commentary throughout the feature of the film. Like, it's special features are so cool, and they're finally starting to do them on digital and tangible. So as much as I love tangible media, if you guys are digital folks, if you buy it digital, there are special features on the digital release, which is available now, and the tangible release is available today.
Yeah. So
you can buy it today and
get it digitally.
Get it. Well, you can buy it either way today.
Yeah. Both. Yeah. Like, you know, get your cry on.
Yeah. Enjoy the darkness.
Yeah. Seriously, I watched it 3 times and I have not watched. Well, I couldn't watch it again. I just couldn't.
It's a lot. It's a lot of movie.
Man, it's a lot.
I saw it 5 times.
It's so good.
Oh, I've survived that.
Three was enough. I just got Thor Ragnarok back into my rotation, so
it is a heavy film.
Do you guys remember that guy that was going to the movies?
Yeah.
I wonder if he's still going. Because if he is, he can't. It's no longer in theaters. So I wonder when he stopped.
Well, he probably bought it on digital as soon as he could.
No, yeah. Dude.
I guarantee.
Oh, my God.
That guy is, now he's just comfy at home.
Crying.
And all of those shirts he has. That guy is, I was impressed by his wardrobe, frankly.
Oh, yeah. And just real quick to address in the chat room, I personally find it extremely unlikely that they're not going to do Guardians of the Galaxy 3 because it's such a moneymaker and people are expecting it. If anything, I think that it could be pushed back. We don't need for it to come out the time that it is because we have all of these other things lined up. It
depends on what the next phase is.
It all depends on what the next phase is. But I don't think it's just going to be dropped off the docket. I don't think it's... All of this is serious, but I don't think it's that serious, if that makes any sense.
Time will tell.
We shall know because time moves forward.
So speaking of serious, I'm going to keep tangenting. Anton Fuqua, a very serious
yes!
man.
Yes! I enjoy this director.
Yeah, it's a real. He's brilliant.
I enjoy him.
He is taking meetings with Marvel. He Yay. Is the man who made The Equalizer most recently. Also, like.
And Equalizer 2.
And Equalizer 2. And yes. Equalizer 2 writers just signed on to Kraven. So a lot of the Equalizer team, much like Creed, are getting plucked by these giant copper properties because it's great. And I love when people see a movie do really well and they're like, oh, let's just take all the good stuff. And Creed, like, if you watch Creed, that's like a Marvel movie retroactively because that entire cast and crew did that movie. And Creed's incredible if you haven't seen it. So Antoine Fuqua is making the rounds on Equalizer 2 and mentioned that he has been, quote, I've been approached about it, saying about Marvel, I'll probably take some meetings soon, talk to those guys about it. For me, it has to be the right one in the right situation because there's so much visual effects going on and where's the director in it all? I need to understand it because it's like management. They have a machine, they've got people, there's the design, the whole thing is sketched out. Is the director doing that or is it 100 other people? I love that he wants his vision. I love that he wants it to be his. But Sony just asked me to do Morbius. I'm gonna have a meeting with Kevin Feige just talking. I would love to see his Morbius.
That'd be great. And if you haven't seen The Equalizer, Equalizer 2, and there's other work that he's done. I forget. I think it was something in Miami. And in any case, Equalizer and Equalizer 2. See that for Denzel Washington, who is like... what's a good term to say Denzel Washington besides using his name as an adjective? I mean, he's iconic.
Yes.
If you don't know Denzel Washington, welcome to knowing Denzel Washington.
Change
with
your life.
Equalizer, Equalizer 2, and then just like his body of work. Training Day, he won an Oscar for, but he's not just that, Malcolm X and so on and so forth. But with... when Antoine and Denzel got together, because Denzel is sort of getting up there in age, but he's still pretty awesome. I never doubted for a second that Denzel Washington could do everything that he did in Equalizer and Equalizer 2. And then the storyline itself, that shows, and the angles, that shows a good director that knows how to work with actors to bring out the Denzel and Denzel Washington. I still just can't. Adjectives. His name is an adjective, just like Angela Bassett. But with Anton, this is such a great coup for MCU, and I am so glad that they're thinking in that direction.
Yeah.
And
he works
really
with Denzel a lot, so I'd be curious what kind of movie, like, if he could bring Denzel into a role in one of those films.
I want Denzel in the MCU.
Because he did Training Day. Like, he's been working with Denzel since Denzel got that new type of career. Like,
that
Training
was the
Day
other-
was...
Yeah. And I said it, training day.
Also, nice. I think that he shoots drama as well as he does action, so I'd love to see him handle, like, a Moon Knight or someone that was...
He would rock a Moon Knight.
Or a Blade with Well, Denzel probably couldn't play Blade, but he could be in Blade.
If we were going to do... Yeah, then they probably get Wesley. They probably get Wesley Peck if they were going to do that.
So, he's a brilliant director. Training Day did, you know, pretty well. You might have heard of it. And he's done incredible work since. I'm one of the few people that loves Southpaw, Jake Gyllenhaal boxing movie. He's a great director, and I would love to see how he handles a Marvel character, and I love how much he wants to control it, not let it be a system. It be his vision. But in the world of post-snap life, we have an update. Daryl lives. Do we have a clip of Daryl living?
And those that don't remember Daryl, Thor's roommate, and also Grandmaster's roommate. If y'all saw that, so from
I'm working Sundays. This video is to say happy birthday, Thor, however many thousands of years old you are. I hope you're having a good time out there in the universe. And if there happens to be Wi-Fi where you are, if you could just do a quick transfer, I'm in quite a bit of debt. Since you left. Happy birthday, Thor. I miss you, and I hope you're having a good day.
Oh my God, Daryl! So
Daryl!
Daryl!
That's always the hardest part.
So Daryl lives. He is now working Sundays because half the office was dusted, which is a very interesting insight into the world of the MCU post-snap. Mm-hmm. The world has turned on, and yet they have to recover from half the people being gone. Poor Daryl. We also find out that Thor's birthday and Chris Hemsworth's are the same. What a coincidence. and Hemsworth celebrated his 35th birthday over the weekend, and if you don't follow him on Instagram, a lot of amazing people wished him very happy birthdays in various ways, including The Rock. The Rock's happy birthday to Chris Hemsworth is solid. He rewrites the birthday song. It's some good stuff. We are fans of The Rock here on Marvel Movie News, so check out that. And Daryl living on gives me great hope that one day in Thor 4 we will see Daryl on the big screen.
Yes, and I think Grandmaster probably made it too, so I'm just going to say
I'd say
Grandmaster definitely made
probably
it.
Doing
hey!
Okay.
Hey!
See? Survived the snap. He's right here.
Guys. Everything's
he's
fine.
Doing fine. Now, before we wrap up, we have a little TV to go through. Namely, one of our favorite shows, the entire Marvel Movie News' posse, loves The Runaways, and friend of the show, Ryan Sands, officially announced that on December 21st, 13 episodes are dropping at once.
Yeah.
So you can binge this beast. They last time had 2 episodes,
finally.
And then it was weekly. This you can just watch like a Netflix show.
Wait, this year?
December 21st, man.
What? So you get to watch it over like the Christmas holidays.
That's crazy.
They're filming
Isn't it great?
Wow.
Yeah, Runaways, they're on set right now. Yeah. They're filming, so they're going to finish this up before December, and it drops all of it on December 21st.
Yeah, I can no longer take the old cable model of an episode at a time. Or even Castle Rock looking at you, 4 episodes, and then like parceling it out. How dare you? I can't just view things on a set schedule like that. My schedule is everywhere, so I need to binge everything on Sundays.
Yeah, this is going to be a great day and a half of life. And also,
this is going to be excellent.
I think it's going to tie into Cloak and Dagger. We also find out that there is a giant Easter egg breadcrumb that ties it into the MCU. So there is something in season 2 that has the showrunner officially said there is something that ties it into you. I don't know if it's, you know, the sound of that or something, but I'm curious if that would be a thing, if that would be allowed on TV. Right? I don't know. I'm theorizing.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
I'm just saying that's
I mean, it could just be the incident then.
It could be, but I think we're past. I think Netflix like wore that word down. incident. Yes, we know it's connected.
Yes.
So I'm really excited because Runaways season 1 I really dug. I am excited for season 2 and we get all of it this year. Now, I mentioned earlier in the show that Miss Marquia was not going to be here because of Burning Man. I will not be here because of Ireland. So next
Which
week.
Which is August 28th for those that are wondering.
So we are going to next week. Marquia is going to be in here still. I won't be, so she'll be here for that show. But it is possible that the 4th We might have a dead day, like an absence.
The Tuesday after Labor Day, that will be both of us trying to get back either into the country or, you know, out of the desert and into the mindset of, like, pretty much driving back from
Nevada.
I'll
be at customs during the show, so I won't be able to...
Yeah, so it looks like September 4th?
4th, yeah.
That we won't be able to do that show, but... if you can send Twitter questions, send Twitter questions to @MarvelNewsPTN or do them in the live chat right now. We're going to try to get them down because we're going to see if we can pre-tape something by answering Twitter questions. And then perhaps we'll be able to do that for the 28th and then also September 4th. So then you'll have that. So send us your questions, inundate with that for this week, and then also do it for next week. Because depending on the amount of questions that we get, we'll see if we can pre-tape something for you.
Yeah. So we'll be taping something today for then, and then we'll go forward and try to fill up the fourth as well. But
yes.
In the meantime, where can they find you in real life now?
Oh, in real life, like right now, and not later in this later this month. Hashtag birthday burn. Find me on Twitter and Instagram @MarkiaMcCarty. That's MarkiaMcCarty. I do have big news to announce, but I can't announce it yet. But I will be doing that very soon, and maybe the 21st I'll be able to announce that. I hope so. We'll see. But otherwise than that, things that you can see me on. Sunday nights, I'm on the fourth season of Tempting Fate. It is an RPG on Saving Throw show. So on Twitch at 5 p.m. Sundays, you can see me doing RPG just awesomeness. Like right now, we're in the middle of a campaign of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I am Lila Eaglebottom, an unemployed layabout that's all about the snacks. So it's actually pretty fun to do. And then Monday nights, I do my tragic horror RPG at Hyper RPG. It's called 10 Candles. And right now we're in the middle of a campaign. The next one will be the finale of where the sun has gone dark. And humans have existed underground for 300 years, but now it is time to escape to the rocket. We live in 10 levels. However, levels are being released to feed giant beasts below so that the rocket can be powered. Will we make it to the stars in time?
Bum, bum, bum!
That's 6 p.m. PT on Mondays, so hope to see you there on Twitch.
Wow, that's really cool. Yes, you guys can find me on all social media at @AmyCassandraMTZ. I do a lot of stuff on AfterBuzz, Popcorn Talk here, Geek Bomb, and I just started doing some stuff with Clever, so feel free to follow me and support all my shenanigans.
Shenanigans. I'm Koi Jandro. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram @KoiJandro, CoiJandreau. You can find me here and on Wednesdays on Collider Heroes, and I'm also, I think around my birthday, we'll be able to tell you that sneaky thing I've been cooking up for like 6 months that is hopefully coming to fruition. And in the meantime, if there are any fans from Ireland, I will be in your beautiful country. So send me tweets. Tell me where to go. I want to do Ireland right, and comic fans know how to see the world right. So tell me how to do it. And finally, Marvel Movie News fans from New Zealand, I called in and did a podcast for you. Marvel, it's Movie News in 20 Qs, and they watched this show, and
they are diehard
New Zealand fans, and I did a call-in podcast, and one of the main guys was like, everybody thinks I'm like one of the biggest experts in the country, but that's just because I watched your guys' show. So I wanted to give full credit to them for, yeah, so it was really rad. So thank you guys, as ever, for everything, and I will see you next week-ish by way of pre-taping, and then I'll see you guys in September.
They'll see you the 28th.
They'll see me the 28th.
Yes, and you'll see us the 21st.
The ghost of Christmas past. All right, we'll see you guys soon.
Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.